Lord.
praise the Lord. Let's close our eyes again this morning. Praise God. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come into your house with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. And we can say, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we bless your name, Lord Jesus, because your name is far above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that every spirit in this room will be subject to the Holy Spirit. We pray that the power of the blood of Jesus will encamp your people this morning. And we know the angels of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear the Lord. Encamp us, we pray, with the mighty host of heaven in the name of Jesus Christ this morning. Lord, we thank you for the prayers that's been prayed, and we do say amen. We just pray you'll have your way, Lord. Touch each one, David and Andrea and Chloe. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Bless Brother George, Sister Winifred. Father, for the families bereaved at this time, give them your strength, give them your comfort, your grace, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost right now to help me. And I thank you that you do. In Jesus' name, cover me, wash me in the blood of the Lamb. For you said, Lord, that if we come now and reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow and like the wool. Lord, we bless you this morning that you promised us we can eat the good of the land. Give us the good, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Shake hands for everybody beside you and say, God's going to give you the good of the land. Do you believe it? Glory to God. Amen. Isn't everybody want it? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's read this scripture in English. Can we see that after that? Hebrews 11, verse 27 to verse 28. And the Lord bless you, Brother Gary. I thank him for his faithfulness, leading the singing and everything. It's great. And keep in prayer, Brother Andrew Beecham's coming on the 14th of June. So that's only a few weeks away. And also, there's some people want baptized in water. And we can't let another season go. They'll have to be baptized this year. It was meant to happen some last year, but we are going to do it this year. Praise God. But isn't it great that people's wanting baptized? Praise God. And I heard that Ken Davis, and I'm friendly with Ken Davis, and somebody got saved at the Belmont. They had a wee meetings, three nights of meetings on the last service. Isn't that great that somebody gets saved? That's what it's all about. People getting saved. May the Lord help us to lift the name of Jesus. Let's read Hebrews 11, verse 27 to 28. And tonight, our brother Samuel will be preaching, and the Lord will. Next Sunday morning, can you preach next Sunday morning, Brother John? Praise God. God bless. I want to give these brothers notice. Sometimes I go for Larry at the last minute, or some of these brothers, but I want to give them notice. Give them time. Praise God. Let's read Hebrews 11, verse 27 to 28. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch him. You may be seated. And we know that God will bless his word. And I'm talking about the revelation of true communion. And I want to look at forgiveness and healing through our Passover lamb. This is a declaration of truth that God gave to Moses. And Moses wasn't just anybody. At the birth of Moses, when he was born, The Bible says, seeing he was a goodly child. That's how it started. And his parents fearing God, there was a decree sent out that all male children be slain, because Pharaoh was afraid of the prophecies or the words or the news he had heard of a coming deliverer. And you know how they made the ark? His mother made the ark, that little basket, and they put him in it, and they floated him down right into Pharaoh's kingdom. God sent the deliverer right into the midst of the enemy's camp. I like that a lot. Praise God. And they raised him. And Moses was raised and all the wisdom of the Egyptians. And I like what that old Pentecostal pastor Joseph Smith said. And I've never forgotten it. And I heard it many years ago. He said he was 40 years in Egypt learning to be an Egyptian. 40 years. Then he was 40 years on the backside of the desert learning to be a shepherd. But then he said he was the next 40 years learning that God was everybody. And our scripture opens with this tremendous statement, seeing him who was invisible. Nobody had ever seen God. But Moses, while he was looking after the sheep, saw a bush burning, and it burned, and it kept burning, where normally, if you set a bush on fire, eventually it'll go out. I reckon myself it burned for days. I don't think it was just a few hours. I believe he was watching this thing for a long time. And it kept on burning, and Moses said, I'm going to draw aside and see this sight. And they said, the rumor or the story is that God comes up there and you can't go up there. But Moses went up to the mount. And he met him. He saw him who was invisible. And he said, Moses, take your shoes off, for you're standing on holy ground. Moses had a supernatural encounter with God. I want to say this morning, when you have a supernatural encounter with God, you will never be the same again. It's impossible for you ever to be the same again. And I don't care how many years ago it happened or where it took place, but that is a time post in your experience that you can go back to that you met God right there. And the devil can do nothing about it. He saw him who was invisible, the one that had no name. And God begins to talk to him and sends him down to deliver his people. And he says, oh, but who am I going to say sent me? And he says, I am. I am that I am. I know a lot of people's preaching I was, but I believe in I am. Hallelujah. He's Hebrews 13 and 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, the same today, the same forever. And Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New Testament. He's the one true God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, that made himself a body, and he came to that body, the person of Christ. Thank God he did. Moses had this experience. This is not even part of my message this morning, but listen, the Lord too. I tell you, Moses was obedient. Now, I don't want to go through the whole story, but you know how God brought them out and everything. God delivered them. And Moses was obedient. And through faith, he kept the Passover. And Moses delivered this Passover ordinance as a statute to the people. And you know what happened before they left Egypt? God told them You know, all them plagues, everything that happened, God kept hardening Pharaoh's heart. And Pharaoh was going to let them go, and he changed his mind. And he was going to let them go, and he changed his mind 10 times. And that's where I got the sermon from, One More Night with the Frogs. And I preached it in Zimbabwe, in Gweru. And out on an open-air service. And you know that frogs came everywhere. And that frogs in the pantry, that would be our kitchen, I suppose, today. And frogs all over the house in the bedrooms. And frogs everywhere. And Pharaoh said to Moses, entreat the Lord for me and move these frogs. And Moses said to Pharaoh, when will I get the frogs moved? And he said, tomorrow. That's where the thought came from, tomorrow. Why tomorrow? Why not now? So they spent one more night with the frogs. Hence the phrase. One more night with the frogs. One more night in adultery. One more night in fornication. One more night with the whiskey. One more night with the drugs. One more night with the devil and sin. Why didn't he say move them right away? He wanted one more night with the frogs. I never can understand that. Why want another night with them stinking frogs? And I do not like frogs. Now, I know when we were young, some of us liked to handle them and fiddle about them, but I didn't. I had to squash them things. I just don't like them, frogs. And frogs in Revelation speaks of someone that's unclean. They speak of unclean. Amen. And I tell you, he entreated Moses, but then God sent the last thing was the death angel. And when God sent that last plague, because their cattle was gone, everything they had was gone, and the water turned into blood, and Jannes and Jambres thought they could do what Moses was doing. Amen? And you know where Moses pulled out the rod, and the rod turned to a serpent, and they copied it, but Moses' rod swallowed their two snakes. Amen. Whatever the devil do, God will do it better. Because you remember it always originated with the Lord, not the devil. He's a copier. He's a copycat. But the original spoken word is the original seed. Amen. God's the original. Brother Branham said, God never changes his mind about his word because it is absolutely perfect the first time. And it's the same with the true doctrine. You can't change it for a better one. Amen. Yeah. It remains the truth. This death angel was coming through the land. And God gave Moses the thing he needed. And that was the Passover lamb. Let's look at Exodus 12, verse 11, 13. And you know the token was what they had, and the token was applied on the doorposts and the lintels of the house. And when that death angel passed through, they were safe. He says, when I see the blood. Amen. God required to see the blood. The blood might have been in the basin when it was captured from the lamb, and that was good, and the father of the house saw it, and everybody saw it like that, but God required to see it applied. And the blood must be applied. And we're not really saved until we apply the blood. Do you realize that this morning? You must apply the blood of Jesus Christ, for there's only life through the blood of Jesus. And God requires to see that blood applied. Thank God we're under the applied blood. And the life of that blood has come back on us. Romans 8 said to the same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, dwells in you, it'll quicken your mortal body. And a prophet of God said, when the blood shed broke on the cross, the life of that blood was released to come back in the true church. And that life is the Holy Ghost. And we have the life of the blood coming back on us. But that doesn't mean that we belittle the blood of Jesus. We need it. Amen. We thank God for the blood. Amen. Let me read you this, Exodus 12, verse 11 to 13. And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded. This is when they're going to go out of Egypt from Pharaoh. and your shoes in your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. God is telling them to have your clothes ready, your staff in your hand, packed up and ready to go. That's the way we should be spiritually looking for the coming of the Lord this morning. The coming of the Lord is imminent. I want to emphasize again, there's three comings of the Lord. His first coming is when he came to save us. His second coming, he doesn't come on the earth. We meet him in the air. And the third coming is when we come with him, king and queen, and we stand on the Mount of Olives. That's the comings of the Lord. There's people preaching that he came in certain dates, and that we're in the millennium and all these things. Absolutely false teaching. But we're looking for the coming of the Lord. And after Brother Branham preached the seventh seal, 48 times after he preached it, he said, I'm looking for the coming of the Lord. 48 times he said it. And we're looking for the coming of the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. And just as they were told here, you're escaping, you're coming out, we need to have an attitude that we're ready, as it were, spiritually dressed, clothed, and ready to go for the Lord's coming. And if he doesn't come today, he might come tomorrow. And if he doesn't come tomorrow, he might come the next day. But we need to be waiting on the coming of the Lord every single day, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. He's coming. He is coming again. Also in reference to the after times, to put people in mind, of God's passing over and deliverance of the hearts of the children of Israel when he smote the Egyptians. Let's read verse 27 to 28 of Exodus 12. That ye shall say it as a sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord and Moses and Aaron, so did they. I tell you, this Passover was important. Not only was this Passover important, but they're to remember it. And you know, when you study this in Scripture, they eat the bitter herbs. How many knows that? That was to remind them of the bitter hardship that they suffered under Pharaoh. That's why they done it. And there had to be a remembrance made every year throughout the Jewish custom, still to this very day. It's a Passover that they remember how God delivers them. And every true Jewish preacher or prophet or rabbi will teach the people these very things. They are taught and they're true. They had to remember these things. Now this is for us to think back, as they were to think back in this Passover and they are to taught. We this morning in communion are to think back of our Passover lamb, the Lord Jesus. Our Passover lamb this morning, we're to think back upon him. And as we come round the Lord's table, we're to think upon him, what he done for us. And remember, when you go into this example in Exodus, under an old covenant, under an old law, under a prophet born a sinner called Moses. But now you come up again with me. Now we have the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, born from the Virgin without sin. Had no sin, you no sin. He is a superior sacrifice. He never had to offer it for himself and then the people. But the offering he made was for us, not for himself, because he had no sin. It's superior. But yet under that old covenant and under that old Passover, the Bible says he came out and there wasn't one feeble one amongst them.
because of the promise of the Word of God. How much more, if they can be healed, can we be healed through the stripes of Jesus Christ on the cross? 1 Peter 2:24, He His own self bare our sins on the tree, that we've been dead to sin should live unto righteousness. By His wounds stripes ye were healed.
We're to remember our Passover now. He's to be the center of our preaching. We're reminded of this Last Supper and how it was instituted, communion, as a memorial, what He accomplished. Many Christians don't fully understand the relationship between forgiveness and healing revealed through communion. They don't fully understand it, but it is in the Bible. Jesus Christ was God's response to man's need for the forgiveness and healing. And Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. I love this verse. I'm going to read it. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. Purge out the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, and ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover lamb is sacrificed for us. So Paul is telling us in Corinthians here that Christ is our Passover lamb, and He sacrificed for us. And of under the Old Testament, a lamb that ran about in the field, as it were, an earthly lamb, with it no soul to save, had it no life but could come back on it. The earthly lamb's blood was still enough, but when the death angel saw it, it had to go over, and it couldn't kill the people. It was still enough that they went out, when they'd done their Passover ceremony, they went out whole and complete with silver and gold. They were prospered as they went out. They went out victorious. They didn't go out a weak bunch of weaklings. They went out a glorious, victorious people. How much more for us this morning speaks the blood of Jesus for our forgiveness and for our healing. If He can do it in this Old Testament, surely with Christ done superior. The night before He died, Jesus gathered His disciples to celebrate one last time the great Passover feast. As they ate, they remembered their nation's physical deliverance from Egypt, slavery. That's what they'd done. Then Jesus called the group's attention to an even greater spiritual deliverance that was imminent. To help them and us remember this wonderful gift of salvation, Jesus instituted a new and different memorial meal of simple bread and wine. Jesus Christ instituted communion. It's not a church that instituted or some organization. It was the person of the Lord Jesus Christ that instituted this communion. And when we do this communion, we're remembering the Lord. We're glorifying the Lord. We're saying, Lord, we're doing this because You done it. This is something You set in place in the church. And we believe it just like baptism in water was set in place as well in Acts 2:38. We do it and we believe it. These are the things God set in place. And we do it and we believe it. Now, I know this bread and this wine and itself's no power in it. But as you take it and remember the Lord Jesus, because He is the same, Hebrews 13:8, there's power in Him. There's a source in Him. And you can be healed just in taking these emblems because you're remembering the Lord and you're glorifying the Lord and you're obeying the word of the Lord. Now, to help them and us remember this wonderful gift of salvation, Jesus instituted this bread and this wine called the Lord's Supper communion, which points to the cross. That's what it points to. And the resurrection. And all God does for us. There we have the ultimate expression of God's infinite mercy and God's infinite love and God's infinite healing is shown in the bread and wine. It's shown before us. It's displayed before us, remembering all the Lord done. He defeated the devil. He conquered him. The grave couldn't even hold him. Old Buddha and Muhammad still in the grave somewhere this morning. I don't know if they're preserved or they're a heart of bones. I don't care either way. They can preserve them and embalm them and do whatever they want with them, but they've no soul in them. They're dead.
And the soul's gone on tormented somewhere. But I want to tell you that the Bible tells me in the book of Psalms, I will not leave thy soul in hell, neither will I suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. But Jesus Christ was raised up on the third day from the grave. And Lord, it's written in the volume of a book that I come to do thy will, O God. He is this word this morning. He's John 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, the Logos. And it was with God, and it was God. Verse 14 says, and that same became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Hallelujah. He's a lamb slain from the very foundations of the world in the mind of God. And he came forth and was expressed 2,000 years ago. And he defeated the devil in every kind. And he rose from the dead. And he shed his blood in the stripes that was placed in his backs for our healing. We take this bread and wine this morning, we're remembering the Lord. Forgiveness and healing. Let's look back at the children of Israel for a moment this morning. I won't keep you long. I want time that we can do communion if someone wants to pray. What does it mean that Jesus Christ is our Passover today? To better understand this, you know, we need to see what the original Passover lamb in the Old Testament did. It brought spiritual and physical deliverance when it was sacrificed. That's exactly what it done. Turn with me to Exodus 12, verse 3. And then 6 to 8. And verse 13. Exodus 12, verse 3. Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take of to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. Verse 6. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts, on the upper posts, doorposts of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in the night, and roast it with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. So even though everybody's going to die around you, you're not going to die. I'm going to say it again. Even though everybody's going to die around you, you're not going to die. Not because you're a good person or you're a wonderful person, but because you have obeyed the word of God and you're under the blood this morning. So though others die, you will not die. And him that's born of God can't die. Amen. Isn't the Lord wonderful? Ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And we know that the Lord was a morning sacrifice and his evening sacrifice. And I preached it years ago, preached so many messages on the cross. Isn't it amazing that you get condemned for preaching on the cross? But yet with all, some false preacher could go to the Congo and tell the people that the Lord come on a certain date, and we're now in the millennium reign, and everybody skips up and goes, wahoo, glory, praise God. False. All false. It's false teaching. The people's error. That's the truth. And I tell you, the prophet of God that we believe in preached the cross. Not only did he preach the cross, he said, in a cold shade, a bright light in the shape of a cross appeared in front of him, and he got saved. He preached it and he believed it. And when he went beyond the curtain of time, he said, I preach what Paul preached. Amen. And the multitude cried out and said, we are depending upon that. Amen. He never preached a different message. That's false teaching. He preached the same message. Baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, for Paul baptized. He preached the Godhead the same. He preached everything the same. But somebody somewhere along the line thought they were smarter than God. That's the same one that was in the garden. That's who it is. And the Bible warns us, for even now false prophets are gone out amongst you. And false teachers. Matthew 24. False Christ.
Well, I'm anointed of the Lord. And I can do this and I can do that. I'm not worried what you can do. What can Jesus do? Amen. It's not about us. It's about Him. It's all about the Lord. And then shall take the blood and strike it on the two doorposts that strike the blood, and the upper doorposts of the house that's wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in the night and roast the fire. These are God's instructions for God's people. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. The sacrifice of the Passover lambs in two parts. First one's forgiveness. Amen. Where the lamb's blood redeemed the children of Israel from the destroyer, that's forgiveness. He redeemed them from the destroyer. And the blood of Jesus Christ is what saves you from sin. Your sins cannot be removed without the blood of Jesus. Do you realize this is a fundamental fact of Scripture? If you take the blood out, you have no forgiveness of sins. That means you're defeated straight away. You have no gospel. What are you going to preach? If a person can't be forgiven, they're still lost. But the Bible says, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You say, where does it say in the Bible? Well, you weren't redeemed or corrupted with things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without spot and blemish. Because I quoted a song. You wouldn't realize how many religious fanatics listen in sometimes. Don't you think they're all wonderful people? Judas was with the 11. But he was always a devil. Jesus knew him the whole time. The other ones didn't, but the Lord did. Amen. And I tell you, only the blood of Jesus cleanses us. Amen. Then there's healing, where the lamb's broken body brought physical wholeness to all who ate of it. They ate it, and they ate it in haste. Amen. Because they were leaving. Amen. He told them, keep your shoes on your feet. Don't get relaxed. That's what it's telling us. Don't become settled and relaxed. Your staff in your hand, your shoes in your feet, ready to travel. We need to be ready to go spiritually. When the children of Israel left Egypt after eating the Passover lamb, everyone was in excellent health. I know when you read the Ten Commandments, you have somebody coming against you, another boy's getting carried, he's near dead. All that's false. I don't believe none of it. Why, Brother Tom? Because of Psalms 105, verse 37. Psalms 105, verse 37. He brought them forth with silver and with gold. Now, answer me this. What fellow said to me one time, it wasn't the God's will that you would have a mortgage when the rapture comes. I says, why not? He says, you've been dead. I says, well, what are you going to do with this scripture here then? What are you talking about? I says, they borrowed of the Egyptians, said the Bible. They went down and they took it off them, and they made them melt all the fancy stuff they had that they made the false gods out of later on. How many knows that's the truth? So they must have had a lot of gold and a lot of silver that they went out with, but they gave it to them to get rid of them. They were glad to see them going. That's the Bible truth of it. How many knows that? Pharaoh was glad to see them leaving because of the trouble he had. And then you know they weren't out too far. They weren't out very far till he changed his mind. That's the devil. And then you can preach a sermon from that. You know what I call it? The go so far religion. He let you go so far. That's as far as he wants. Don't you keep going till you get the Holy Ghost and fire. All you can see of that'll do you. Don't press in till the Spirit falls on you. Don't get the Holy Ghost. Don't get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, for the Holy Ghost could come on you. You wouldn't want that. The go so far religion, that'll do you now. You're in a church now and your name's in the book, you're all right. There he is. Oh, he's still active, isn't he? The go so far religion. I tell you, they went out. Let me read that again. Glory to God.
You're paying a mortgage this morning. Don't you worry one thing about it. About a bit of debt, because when the Lord takes you, you're going.
Amen.
You're not going to worry one bit about it. What about the banks that's robbed people for years? And they've sold properties around this country for the quarter of what they were worth. And they robbed people clean blind. And the money they're making a year is ridiculous. There are people starving. Don't get me even started this morning. And you see that football and all that stuff, how much money they get. And then they're all appealing to feed this. Oh, that's a lie of the devil, the whole thing. That's a Satan's eating. We're getting out of here. When we come back with the Lord, there's going to be a millennium reign, and the devil's closed up for 1,000 years, bound with chains. Amen. Glory to God. He brought them forth with silver and gold. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the wonderful. And there was not one feeble, you know what it means? Wavering or stumbling, I wrote here in brackets. Wavering or stumbling among them. Not one. And all the tribes, forgiveness and healing, spiritual and physical wholeness. Sin is broken fellowship with God. When we are born again, we receive remission of sins. Acts 2:38. Repent ye therefore, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What about Romans 3:25? Whom God has set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Christ took our place. Oh, but brother, I'm saved and have made a mistake. All right then, 1 John 1 verse 9. If we sin after that time, we confess our sins. God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't the Lord wonderful? The devil's nowhere to move. He's tied with that. If you're not saved, he's tied in the fact that God can save you. If you are saved and you make a mistake, he's tied again because God loves you. And his love's never changed. I'm going to have to close on this. I'm not finished. But I'm going to have to close. God's never finished. Amen. Let us turn to Corinthians this morning. We're going to do communion. And you don't have to pray out loud, but I want you to feel free. And in the house of the Lord this morning, I hope I've said something to help you. I know I've said a lot of things and went down a few trails, but the Lord bless you this morning. 1 Corinthians 11:23-24. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Here it is. Here's your ordinance. This do in remembrance of me. We're remembering the Lord when we do this. After the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. What's that tell us? That's the very thing people's condemned me for. I'm serious. And perhaps you as well. He's only preaching the cross. He's only preaching this and that. He's not very deep. I'll tell you, a lot of people that think they're deep, they're very, very shallow. Because what they have is all false. So it's not deep. It's false. The Lord says here, you show his death, he comes. And I can show you, if you go over into the book of Acts, the Bible says, how often can you take communion? As often as you meet, if you want. You can do it every night if you want. That's the Bible. How many knows that's the scripture? You can do it as often as you meet. If you're remembering the Lord. And every time you do it, you're showing the Lord's death. And we're to show the Lord's death. Showing somebody else's, no power in it. That's why Paul said the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. Verse 27, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord, but let a man examine himself. Aren't you glad you don't need to sit in the wee box this morning and tell some old hypocrite
that perhaps could be a bigger sinner than either me or you ever was. But you have a man this morning in the glory. And he's your high priest. And he's your advocate. You talk to him. Even a fellow at work that's not even saved, or rough as you like, that's the fellow that said, don't preach to me. But he preached to me this week. And he told me about going to a funeral, and he tackled the priest, or a wedding, and he tackled the old priest at it. And he said, he one of them old boys that wants to forgive people of sins, and then quoted him scripture. And he's telling me all this, and this is the same boy that said, don't preach to me. And he says, "I, you only can be saved through Jesus." And you get down on your knees and confess to him. And I said, that's it. That's it. There he's preaching his own sermon. And then he said, don't preach to me. Isn't God good? The devil always oversteps himself. Verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat that bread and drink the cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now you see that bit, not discerning the Lord's body. What about the gifts in the body? What about gifts in the church? How many knows the church is his body? What about the gifts that they say they're on shelves and they don't need them? They're not discerning the Lord's body. There it is. That's the truth. They're not discerning it. They should be fit to discern. That's the spirit of the Lord. We need that in the body for the exhortation of the body. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we're judged, we're chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned to the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Praise God. We're going to take the bread and we're going to do communion. Let's pray, and then our deacons is going to come, and elders. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the lovely Lord Jesus. How we worship you. Lord, it's all because of you that we're here this morning clothed and in our right minds. We love you, Lord Jesus, because you first loved us. We love you with all of our hearts. Maybe the people were strange, were different, but we love you, Lord Jesus. As we come round this bread and this wine, and we ask you to sanctify these elements, and Lord, as we partake of them, if anyone is sick in this house, heal them, Lord. Confirm your word. As we take the wine, we thank you for your precious blood. You redeemed us with that blood. As we take this wine, we're remembering and thanking you for your precious blood, Lord Jesus. Bless the children in the service. Give them a real revelation of Calvary. And us that's older, help us as well, every one of us. Lord, for those that couldn't be here this morning, on holiday or sick or away, we lift them all before you. We ask you for your mercy and grace for every one of them. In Jesus' precious name, for Chloe and David and Andre, for George and Winifred, for any others, and that family that her sister put up on the app, you know all their names, comfort and strengthen them. And may salvation come out of it all. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Let's just begin to know the word of the one prayer. Pray. Take this just. Please feel free to do it. Praise God.